This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. In the 9 o'clock hour we go. What's going on, Seth? I saw you.
Multiple people have pointed out that Boomer Sports Minutes this morning sound a little bit different.
We're going to get to him.
We'll examine those at some point here.
We'll do a Zapruder analysis of Boomer's last Sports Minute here in just a moment. As we welcome you back in, big thanks to John McClain for jumping in with us in the 8 o'clock hour, as he always does. So, college football is a big topic this week because the latest rankings came out last night. The season were to end today, which it does not, but if it did, it would be Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati. So three blue bloods, and then the upstart Cincinnati with Oklahoma State and Notre Dame sitting at 5-6 right now. Five of those six teams still have games this weekend in their conference title games. Notre Dame is sitting off to the side watching the rest of this play out. And in the meantime, there's this whole other tornado going on outside of these games of coaches leaving schools to go to other schools. Two very prominent schools losing their coach, including one that's in the playoff mix in Notre Dame. So it exposes, like it does every year, Seth, but maybe it's even more acute this year because you've got Oklahoma's coach leaving for USC and Notre Dame's coach leaving for LSU. But every year the hypocrisy of the whole thing gets exposed about coaches have been lying to players while they're recruiting. I'm going to be here forever, sure, until I'm not, that kind of stuff, you know.
It extends on even to, like, Urban Meyer right now. A report came out yesterday that there's no way he'd ever consider leaving Jacksonville.
Right.
No way. No how. Nobody believes any of this.
No.
Right? Like, these reports, whenever – I feel bad for coaches who are genuinely denying that they'll ever leave because nobody believes you, ever.
Right.
Because guys have lied and lied and lied.
Yeah. Right. So that's what made this rant. Nick Saban had a rant. It looked like it was on his coach's show last week before the Auburn game. But and I had the tweet saved to kind of look at and maybe you and I could talk about. We just hadn't gotten around to it this week. And then when these coaches started leaving for these huge jobs in the last couple days, I said, you know what? I need to go back and listen to Nick Saban talking about the beauty of the amateurism, once again, of college football and how these kids, they hate losing. He was basically going off on Alabama fans at his coach's show.
He was.
Yeah.
He was almost, and it was almost, he was at a restaurant or something, so there's fans there. And he was saying, you'll hear what he's saying. And what usually people are, what is that? Is that the conditional second person or something? Like where you might say you talk about somebody, but you're not talking about you in front of me. In this video, it looks like he actually is addressing the actual people in the crowud, and they are loving it. He's insulting them.
They're lapping it up. So here is Nick Saban on his coach's show in a restaurant, going off on the expectations of the Alabama fan base.
Our players work their butt off to be the best that they can be, and to get criticized for what they work hard for to do, so that you can be entertained. Right, so that you can enjoy and have pride and passion for what they accomplish and what they do. And they're not perfect. Right, they're just college students. They're going to they go to school every day. They got to study. Right, they have to run extra after practice when they miss study hall. I mean, come on. Give me a break. This is not professional football. These guys aren't getting paid to play here. They're representing you all. You should be proud and happy to support them and appreciate what they do and have some gratitude. And you know what else? Nobody wants to win worse than they do. Yep. Not me, not you. I don't care what kind of fan you are. Nobody wants to win more than the players that play. Nobody.
That was magnificently said.
Oh, God.
And nobody feels worse than they do when they lose.
Yep.
Nobody. So for all you self-absorbed folks out there that can't look past your own self, right, to appreciate what other people are doing.
Okay, now Seth, I'm not going to sit here and act like there's not a lunatic fringe in college football on the message boards that's a little out of line. But for Nick Saban, and I guess he's just taking up for his players, I suppose, but for Nick Saban to go off on fans and the passion with which fans fan in Alabama, dude, that's one of the reasons why you make as much money as you do. And the whole thing, this is not professional football. Okay, this is, to me, the most hypocritical thing that Nick Saban said in that whole rant. And trust me, we only gave you half the rant. There was other stuff leading up to it. But that was the money shot right there. The most hypocritical thing was where he said, these players don't get paid. Now, maybe they don't all do. But in Alabama and schools like Alabama, a lot of these guys actually are getting NIL money now, name, image, likeness money. And for Nick Saban to say that is very hypocritical because if you recall before the season, I believe at SEC Media Days, he was almost bragging about how much Bryce Young was making in NIL money, as if it were a selling point on why Alabama is such a great place to go. These coaches are all out in front of these high school kids now touting the NIL opportunities. You can't sit here.
Yeah.
You cannot sit here and tell, first of all, I don't think you can sit here and tell fans how to fan, period, when you're making $10 million a year like Nick Saban. But that's the broader point. But the specific thing about this, it's not professional football, and these are kids, and they run wind sprints when they don't go to class. Those things, the discipline part of it may all be true, but let's not ignore, especially in Alabama of all places, that it is a damn money pit and a football factory. And these kids actually are the ones that are getting the vitriol directed at them. They are getting paid, a lot of them now, at least something.
But people love it when Saban goes off on his little rants when he's complaining about something, even if it's something they might not agree with. Because you're seeing like a human side of Nick Saban, which I think sometimes every now and then people just want to believe that he actually is a human being. So when they see that side of it, they get all fired up about it. I think being a big-time college football coach is kind of like being a successful NFL coach. They're just wired a little bit differently. In college, Meltzer used to talk about this. You're so isolated in your own little vacuum, and you get to be king of your little fiefdom there at Alabama or at Oklahoma or wherever you are. That they just positive reinforcement every time you say anything at all. So when they go off on big rants like this, I think he feels like he's dropping down wisdom from on high onto the lowly people that don't barely even deserve to hear his hollowed speech. That's the problem. And the other thing about Saban, and this is great because Saban, Coughlin, you know, Parcells, it doesn't matter who it is. Really good coaches are just huge whiners. Like they're whiners who do something about it. Yeah. But there's something about being obsessive about getting every detail right that turns coaches into whiners. They can't help but complain about things, but then they take action and they're really good at getting those things corrected. But you look at a lot of the really successful coaches, they bitch a lot. Like they're like all the time about everything. And God help you if you're married to one of those guys and they spend a year out of football. You hear these coaches' wives talk about it all the time, how they're insane to deal with around the home. So I think that Saban really, like in those moments, he's just letting his genuine bitchy side out. And people like seeing that side of him.
Honestly, Seth, the other thing of that whole minute that we just played that bugs me, the dude who's hosting the show. They play the last part of it again, Ben.
That was magnificently said.
That was magnificently said.
And nobody feels worse than they do when they lose.
Yeah, look, see, he's fueling the fire. Like, that was magnificently said, Coach.
That's not true. It's not true about nobody feeling worse than the players. I think hardcore fans feel worse than anybody, including players and coaches. Coaches and players never want to believe that. I don't think I believed it when I was a player, but now that I've looked at it objectively from both sides of the situation, like as a player, you've got to get back and get back to work and practice. You know, you've got to, you come in on Monday, you make your corrections in the NFL, and then you got to turn around and start thinking about the next opponent. Where the fans, like the super hardcore fans, they can't do anything except sit there and think about it.
Yeah.
And
it's no control.
It's a tough thing. When you can't do anything about it, that sucks. When you can do something about it, then, you don't actually feel as bad.
Yeah.
I hate to break it to you, but they don't they're moving on trying to get the next victory.
Can with the Texans at least, though, can we strike a balance where it at least appears – that the head coach hates losing, kind of. You know what I mean? I get what you're saying. Like,
fans probably
wallow in the misery more than the players and coaches do, and we as fans might not like to hear that, but it is the case because you guys have a job to do as players and coaches. But I would like for one of these losses. David Culley is a genuinely nice human being. I would like him to walk in miserable one day to a press conference, like Bill O'Brien. Am I saying it? Yes, I'm saying
instead
it.
Instead of basically just acting like, this is exactly what I expected to happen.
Yeah.
Like, this is, he's never, at some point, I think we predicted this, that at some point it would get on our nerves. I mean, because it's not his fault, obviously, that the Texans aren't good. I do very much think that other coaches could be doing a better job and they'd be less bad than they are now. But there's no coach out there that was going to all of a sudden transform this squad into a genuinely competitive football team. But you're right, there's still something about the fact that it does not seem to agitate him one bit. And if anything, he doesn't even seem to let on that there's a problem on offense,
or that there's
seriously bad things about this football
right.
team. That part's kind of annoying.
Yeah, not every week, Coach Culley, if you're listening, not every week, but just once after what I'm sure will be there will be more losses. If you just once come in miserable one day, just come in firing, be my favorite coach.
You know, one thing. If we're just sitting here complaining about things now, like just Nick Saban likes to do,
right? Like we're being whiny now, exactly.
I'm going to complain about this. I'm going to whine about this because usually at the home games, I sit in the press box for a while afterwards. I edit the video I'm going to show on KHOU that night, and I wait for traffic to die down. The jersey exchanges that have become so common. I hate them. I hate these jersey exchanges. I can't stand them. And part of it is that because it just becomes a standard almost, like it's just a bunch of schmoes out there exchanging jerseys with their buddies from college or what have you, you know. Like, you go back to, I know in rugby it's kind of a big deal if you exchange jerseys with somebody. It's that, like, you guys had a hell of a battle that game. You know, sometimes, like, a really good player might give a lesser player his jersey if he respects the way he played him. So it's like it's almost a trophy for that lesser player. I don't know how it is in other sports. But the biggest thing that bothers me about it in football is that it's so hard to get your jersey off.
Functionally.
Like, it's not like it's not a smooth and elegant little gesture where you just whip it off your shirt, you know, off your chest and give it to another guy. They have to have somebody, a lot of times the linemen, you have to have somebody help you get your pads off. Then you got to peel it off because there's double-sided tape on there that keeps the jersey down. And it just becomes this whole laborious task. And all I can think of as I'm watching these guys is, your damn teammates are waiting for you back in the, like, so the coach can break you down.
Yeah.
Get the hell off the field with this nonsense.
No, it's like a straitjacket. You need the jaws of life to get out of that thing. It's crazy. Hey, this week, the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo has officially kicked off the 90 days till 90 years celebration, marking the official countdown to the 90th anniversary celebration. All Houstonians invited to celebrate today as the countdown to the rodeo's 90th anniversary officially begins. Rodeo is scheduled February 28th. To March 20th, 2022. For the next 90 days, follow along with @RodeoHouston on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as they share the hashtag 90 Reasons to Rodeo. You can get your tickets at RodeoHouston.com. Up next, we're getting a bunch of texts about Boomer Esiason sounding drunk in the last sports minute that we've heard. We'll do a Zapruder analysis of a possibly drunk Boomer Esiason next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Wednesday. Good to be with you. All right, so Seth, you and I got texts a few minutes back, right after the top of the hour, and multiple people saying, what's the deal with Boomer Esiason? Is he drunk, you know, these sports minutes?
Yeah. And I've never known Boomer Esiason to be drunk on air or off.
Right. I don't know what his drinking habits are, but he's always sounded very, very coherent. What's going on with Boomer Sports Minute? Something is off on them. Was Boomer drunk when he recorded that last Sports Minute? Now, these texts are actually from like an hour ago.
But even the one from the last half hour, right? There is an explanation that I was given, but I don't know about it. I want to hear these first before I give the explanation.
Okay.
And we'll tell. So we'll have to figure out whether it's A, he's drunk, or B, the explanation that I was given.
Okay. Here is the most recent Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason.
This is Boomer Esiason with an Odyssey Sports Minute, sponsored by Indeed.com. Hiring? Start finding the right people right away. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Head coach Jim Harbaugh earned $500,000 for winning the Big Ten East. He's donating that and additional bonuses to Michigan Athletic Department employees who had their salaries cut during COVID-19. So hail to the victor. Great job, Jim. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Okay, now here's the thing. It's the CBS Sports Minute. So I don't know. That one, he sounded pretty coherent. It was a normal take. Now, I know Ben has pulled others here, so we may need to go further. Now, I think the only thing I would say about that Sports Minute, Seth, is that it was 18 seconds long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So but that didn't sound drunk, I didn't think.
No.
I thought he sounded pretty concise and he did three sentences in 18 seconds.
Yeah. Now, Ben,
pretty good.
Ben explained something. This may be what you're referring to. And I'll actually ask Ben.
Yeah,
Ben,
this is what I was going to say.
I'll have Ben. Ben explained it to me here because Ben's the one that pushes all the buttons in there. Ben, what's going on with these CBS Sports Minutes right now?
So Boomer has been cut from 30 seconds or from 1 minute of a Sports Minute to 30 seconds of a Sports Minute.
Okay, and he's not alone. I've heard some other shorter Sports
Minutes.
Right,
they're all shorter now.
So it's what is it? They've been cut down, and now we got to get the advertiser.
They're figuring out how to produce them. Yeah,
balancing the content so these CBS Sports Minutes are actually getting shorter, but they don't want to cut the revenue, so the ad is still fully there afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, the full minute. You don't want to give up any money.
Yeah, but I'm still waiting to find one where he sounds drunk.
Okay.
I guess that was
Yeah. So, Ben, so you had said that there was one earlier this week that they're still trying to balance this thing out, right? All right.
Right.
Okay.
The fast one.
So Monday this one played, and this may be – it may be ones like this that generated the reaction that we're getting.
This is Boomer Esiason with an Odyssey Sports Minute, sponsored by Ferguson Pro Pickup. College football's two most relieved men are Michigan's Jim Harbaugh and Alabama's Nick Saban. Harbaugh's Wolverines finally beat Ohio State for the first time since 2011. Next up is the Big Ten Championship against Iowa. Saban's Crimson Tide needed a last-minute 97-yard touchdown drive and four overtimes to upend Auburn 24-22. On deck, number one, Georgia. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Okay, now
– was that a legal disclaimer? What the hell? That was it. Sounded like that was something that they play after a drug ad.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Ben.
There might be abdominal bloating and low blood pressure as a side effect.
Ben, play my disclaimer at the end of my open door spots. Do you have that in there? This is what
offer eligibility varies. Open Door is represented by Open Door Brokerage Inc. License 02061130 in California and Open Door Brokerage LLC in its other markets.
That's what Boomer's
science with an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Yeah, he was
definitely
sped up.
Doesn't sound drunk though.
No, it sounds more like he's on speed, like he's coked up or something.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's not. I still don't think there's. I'll have to pay more attention. People have pointed out that he sounds hoarse, but he always sounds a little bit hoarse.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
It gets worse.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think so far he hasn't sounded drunk, other than maybe like as a drunk chipmunk of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
he sounded. You know what? He sounded methed up. Maybe they
right.
didn't want to say that.
Right.
He sounded like he'd been doing meth all night.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I think it's just Seth. He sounds different, and sometimes people just throw drunk around as a general description when something sounds a little different. They're like, hey, is this guy drunk or something like that? I think that's what they're doing. Although there may be one that, have they had any, Ben, that they've needed to slow down because Boomer only talked for 6 seconds and they needed 18 out of him or anything like that?
This is Boomer Esiason with an Odyssey Sports Minute. Vegas' Derek Carr won a Thanksgiving Dallas shootout and earned game balls for himself and coach Rich Bisaccia. Since he's Joe Mixon and Miami rookie Jalen Waddle enjoyed monster games, the Jets' John Franklin Myers bagged 2 sacks and a pick, while Miami rookie Jalen Phillips logged 3 sacks. I'm Boomer Esiason.
He can't do that to him. You can't.
That's Jim Irsay. Jim Irsay Sports Minute.
You cannot do that to a talent. That is unfair.
That was the one.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, that was the one. They slowed him down a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, Rich Bisaccia. That's doing a hell of a job.
This is Boomer Esiason.
This is Boomer Esiason with an Odyssey Sports Minute. Vegas is Derek
Carr. This is Harry Carey.
Let me tell you something. Hey, listen, Baker Mayfield, you stink. You stink. You're not good at football.
There hasn't been a Thanksgiving shootout like this since the Hatfields and McCoys. And why do they call it cranberry sauce?
Former science.
Yeah.
But they can't do that. So which one was more ridiculous? The one where it sounds like he's slurring his words, or the one where it sounds like he just buried his face in a plate full of blow? Which one sounds weirder, the fast one or the slow one to you, Seth?
The slow one sounds way weirder. The fast one, you can tell that they sped it up.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
The slow one. Yeah, the fast one, you can tell that they clearly sped it up. It was the slow one that it's not clear that they slowed it down unless you're listening for it. That's why I didn't want to divulge what the answer was until we had actually heard it.
Right.
That one, if we hadn't talked about that one being slowed down, I totally would have thought he was drunk.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's boy, can you imagine if you were Boomer Esiason? Let's pretend you're Boomer Esiason. And look, his body of work is big enough to where I would think other employers know what he's all about already. But can you imagine, like, if Boomer were, like, looking to move on to another station or another network and they're making final decisions on it? And then this CBS Sports Minute comes on and he sounds like a...
This is Boomer Esiason with an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Like, I don't know.
Vegas' Derek Carr won a Thanksgiving Dallas shootout and earned game balls for himself and coach Rich Bisaccia.
I'd be like, I don't know if we can hire this guy.
It's Bisaccia. Bisaccia? I've never heard of a Bisaccia before. Oof! It's a Bisaccia.
Bisaccia? I don't even know her. Oh, God. That's good. We see.
I want to do, now, you know what we have to do now? We got to take some of Boomer's actual radio show and slow it down.
Yes.
We'll take some of his hottest... We're going to have to take some of his hottest takes of the week. Maybe every time. You know what? Anytime he loves to take these little swipes at the Astros. He was doing it all World Series long.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the Sports Minutes were, tonight's World Series game, if you even care.
Yeah.
He was like spitting on the World Series.
We need that one.
Because of tonight's World Series, if you even give a damn, you can tear yourself away from the bar.
We need that one because that is something that a drunk person would say. Like, if you even give a crap.
about this world's baseball.
I'm going to watch the game, honey, as if you even care. Okay, so we'll that's a right, there's two ideas we've come up so far for the week. One is we need to slow down Boomer Esiason's anti-Astros takes to make him sound drunk. And two, we're going to introduce a new segment where we try to make a case for decide whether we should boo or not boo former Texans players who are coming back to play for other teams. This week, it's a little bit of a buzzkill. It's not a big name item or anything, but Kiki QT is on the practice squad for the Colts. If he were to be activated, would we encourage or discourage people from booing Kiki QT?
Next, you know what's interesting to do that segment, Seth? Next week is the Seahawks. Dwayne Brown. Dwayne Brown with the Seahawks.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So
that'll be a notable one. Because that was pretty divisive. That's been pretty divisive all along.
There's a lot.
A lot of people that were like, yeah, go fly, be free, Dwayne, and others that just despise Dwayne for what.
It's a complicated one, no doubt about it. All right, 713-572-4610. Okay, I'm glad we resolved that. So the reason why Boomer sounds either coked up or drunk is because the powers that be are trying to get the right timing on all the new content with these sports. I'll call it the sports half minutes now, is what those are. All right. Hey, Major League Baseball, the lockout could be coming tonight, but part of the new collective bargaining agreement might be them doing something that I have been praying for in sports for a long, long time. We'll tell you what it is next.
I like the Astros in seven, if you care.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of people reacting to drunk Boomer Esiason sports minutes. We'll get to that again in just a second here. The Major League Baseball lockout is probably coming late tonight. Midnight Eastern time is when the CBA expires in Major League Baseball, and it looks like we're headed towards a lockout. We'll see what happens, and we'll keep an eye on the newswire with Carlos Correa today. Does Carlos Correa get a deal done? We'll talk about that between now and the end of the show as well. One of the things, Seth, reportedly that they're looking at doing as part of the next collective bargaining agreement, and it seems to be kind of received a bit lukewarm right now. They aren't hot to trot to do it in baseball, but this was something that I think they had proposed during the COVID season, which would have been awesome, was doing a draft of playoff opponents where as the proposal stands right now with Major League Baseball, 14 teams would make the postseason. Right now it's 10. So five in each league, the three division winners and two wild cards. The wild card teams play a one game wild card thing. We know how that goes. This would be 14 teams, so seven in each league, just like football. The top record in the league, the division winner with the best record, would get a bye in the first round. The next three best teams, the two division winners and the best wild card team, in that order, would select their opponents from the other three wild card teams. So it's not just two versus seven, three versus six, and four versus five. In other words, the Astros, if they were to have done this last season, the Astros would have had the second, and they did have the second best record in the American League. Tampa Bay would have gotten a bye to the divisional series round. The Astros would have gotten to select their opponent from the Yankees, the Blue Jays, or the Mariners in the wild card round of the playoffs, and the Astros would host a best of three wild card round against what I'm assuming would have been the Mariners of those three teams.
And all of the games that the higher seeded team would be at home.
Yes.
So it's a three game series, all of them at home.
Yes.
This is what I don't like about. I like where they're going with this. I like this notion of drafting your next opponent, but this is the danger in expanding the baseball playoffs. A three round series for the, like, you're the number two seed and you get rewarded with a three game series. That's too dicey, man. In baseball, it's just a three-game series is nothing. It's so easy for a better team to drop two games to an inferior team. Yeah. I feel like that would introduce too much mayhem. I'm not a fan of the one game series at all, even as a wild card. And at least those are teams that haven't really earned their way into the playoffs. So yeah, I can't go there. I do like this notion of drafting your opponent though. If you could draft your opponent but start off with a five game series, then that's cool. But then the other side, the side of making longer series is that the team that sits out ends up being punished by not staying sharp.
Right.
As they're going. Like baseball, and I think there's evidence that backs this up. The players feel very strongly about kind of maintaining some semblance of timing and staying in it by playing more frequently. If you take too long of a delay, you just get too rusty too quick.
The concern for the players reportedly with this idea, and again, I love the idea of drafting your opponent in the playoffs. They would put it on television, so it's a made-for-TV kind of thing. Anytime you're drafting your opponent, when you're the team picking first and you pick somebody to play, that gives them a chip on their shoulder. So I think the drama part of it is really good. The issue the players have with it, Seth, is that baseball is among the most active, if not the most active sport at the trade deadline. And the fear that baseball players have is that if teams feel like, well, if we win 85 games, we're in the mix. And, you know, do we need to go balls to the wall gutting our farm system to go get players or pay for players or make sure, like, do we really have to make sure that our roster is a 105-win roster if the level of randomness injected into the postseason means that we can get by with not having to spend through the roof? They're worried that an expanded playoff is going to drive the demand for good players down.
Well, and I guess I don't. There's the part about the trade deadline. I don't know, because that doesn't increase or decrease anybody's actual pay. I guess the teams that feel like they need to make a push in the off season, that's where I would worry about it as a player, is that teams might not feel like they have to make as big a push to get into that very few, that very rarefied air of teams that make the playoffs. But regardless, I could see that side of it.
I don't know.
I think at this point, though, too, the players got to kind of look in – be partners with the owners as much as possible on what can keep people engaged and keep people interested in baseball. Baseball's not dying or anything. It's all these conversations that you get into about the popularity of baseball versus basketball or football. A lot of it doesn't matter at the end of the day. It's not like baseball's going under, but they are not attracting young to the game the way that they would like to. And I think getting more teams involved in the playoffs is probably at least a good place to start, and keeping more young people engaged and interested in teams locally.
Yeah. It's going to make a lot more money too. I mean, there's that.
you're trying to grow
the economic pie. So there is that part of it. Payne and Pendergast
Who would the Astros have chosen this year if
they would have had a choice between the Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Mariners? So I think it's an easy one. I think it's Mariners.
So they would have chosen the Mariners for the first round. Then you got to start playing the game, playing the game of, okay, what's my matchup going to be after that, right? Or would that not matter?
I think you'd
only choose your opponent in the first round.
Yeah.
Would you reseed again after the?
Okay. I can't. They weren't clear about what happens after this first round. The article
proposed this.
I don't know who exactly proposed it, but it's being discussed as a part of the collective bargaining agreement coming up.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it works better in football if you want to know the truth, because you're not the chances of a team having earned something in the regular season, getting it yanked from them like a three-game series would in baseball. Football's a one-and-done anyways. It's just one game. And I think football, it's more interesting because it's a much more matchup-driven sport to me than baseball is. You know? So I think in football, I would love to see this in football. That would be incredible.
Especially if you're injured. Yeah, if your star receiver is injured that week, but it's a two-week injury and you know you're going to get him back, then you got to try to find the best way to protect yourself that week from that. That's a really good point. You know what? It does make me optimistic, Sean, that this baseball work stoppage isn't going to last that long if this is the kind of stuff they're discussing.
Right.
I mean, like, this is a relatively trivial item that, I mean, it's a big deal. It would change the way the record books are written, all of that. But when it comes to the kind of stuff that one side would say, nope, if I'm not getting my 7-team format, then I'm not, like, I don't see this being a deal breaker. If this is the kind of stuff they're discussing, I feel like, okay, everything's going to be just fine. And we're going to play 2022.
So we're getting a lot of reaction to us playing the Boomer Esiason sports minutes in the previous segment. And it's I think it's interesting. It's probably good news that we have texters that stick around through the CBS Sports Minute during a break, but they sounded a little different lately because they're shorter now. They're not full minutes anymore because of, you know, just administrative stuff within a company. The ad is still a minute afterwards, but the actual sports minute, air quotes itself, is much, much shorter. We played one that Boomer Esiason did that was only 18 seconds. We played them one that was sped up because Boomer apparently did 40 seconds. They needed to shrink it down into 18 or 20 seconds. So the one that got the most attention was the one where he sounded like Do we have the one that we played originally, Ben, where it sounded like he had been drinking and slurring his words? Here's the one we originally played that you, the listeners, noticed earlier in the show.
This is Boomer Esiason with an Odyssey Sports Minute. Vegas' Derek Carr won a Thanksgiving Dallas shootout and earned game balls for himself and coach Rich Bisaccia. Since he's Joe Mixon and Miami rookie Jalen Waddle enjoyed monster games, the Jets' John Franklin Myers bagged 2 sacks and a pick, while Miami rookie Jalen Phillips logged 3 sacks. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Okay, so he does. He
I'm Boomer Esiason.
Rich Bisaccia. So
he picked a few names in there, too. That one slowed down because yeah. Apparently he went way too fast. He did too well at shortening the thing, so they slowed it down. But yeah, Rich Bisaccia, Joe Mixon,
yeah,
and who was the other one? He said
his own name, Boomer Esiason.
Yeah.
So Seth, you put in the request to our producer Ben Gary, who's great at this stuff, to find one of the ones where Boomer was just totally dismissive of baseball and the World Series. Back when he was like, the World Series, for anybody who cares, you had...
Yeah, it was super annoying.
Yeah.
It was the worst moment. Like, sometimes these CBS Sports Minutes drop in, and you can tell it's going to piss everybody off because it's either anti-Houston or whatever. And this was... The entire World Series, Boomer could not stop talking about how, basically, you shouldn't care about the World Series.
Okay, honestly, kind of angry like a drunk person would be, right? Like, it's a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so here was one of those sports minutes, but Ben slowed it down to see if it catches the context a little bit more if Boomer sounds drunk.
This is Boomer Esiason with an Odyssey Sports Minute. The 2021 World Series gets underway tonight in Houston, and whether the Braves or the Astros prevail, the guaranteed loser will be Rob Manfred. The return of the Astros to the Fall Classic for the third time in 5 years reminds the world of their 2017 championship that was permanently tainted by the electronic sign-stealing scandal, baseball's subsequent investigation, and Manfred's inability to punish individual players except the retired Carlos Beltran remains a permanent stain on the commissioner's legacy. This series will also remind folks of Manfred's rash, misguided decision earlier this year to abruptly relocate the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver. As for the competition itself, it's an analytics World Series. That means bullpen games and matchups all over the place. So let's see whose front office geeks can place their players in a position to win. I like the Astros in 7, if you care. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Okay, it was borderline whether it sounded better drunk Boomer or sober Boomer until the last 15 seconds, where he goes off on analytics and bullpen games, and then, of course, the parting shot, Seth, right?
If you analytics geeks, if you even care, we're going to math their way to a championship. Everybody hates me. I don't know why. You guys have never given me a chance.
Astros in 7. If you even give a rip, let me tell you.
Astros in 7.
Hold on. Hold on a minute. Hold on. I've got a secret to tell you.
He sounds like a jilted lover at the end. Astros in 7. If you even... Ben, play Astros. Astros in seven.
I like the Astros in seven, if you care.
And I find you controlling.
Yeah. Astros in hope seven. You're happy. Yeah. I hope you're happy, you whore.
Astros in seven.
Astros in seven. I'm not even drunk.
Astros in seven.
I'm literally fine.
They got to fix that.
Yeah.
They gotta stop doing Boomer that way. They gotta let him do his stuff at normal speed.
Yes,
we can fill in the time if Boomer goes 7 or 8 seconds short. Don't slow it down because he sounds drunk.
Someone said he sounds like Broadway Joe Namath, straggling.
So let's see whose front office geeks can place their players in a position to win.
That's the drunkest part.
That's the one.
That's the drunkest part. Let's see whose front office geeks can get the job done, huh?
Astros in seven.
Now you're just doing Jim Irsay.
So?
That's just Jim Irsay.
We should try tomorrow.
Let's compare normal speed Jim Irsay to slowed down Boomer Esiason.
Okay.
And then normal speed Boomer Esiason to sped up Jim Irsay.
Okay.
I feel like Jim Irsay, honestly, I think he sometimes says some pretty profound stuff. And if he would just speak at a normal cadence and with proper elocution, you would recognize it, but he doesn't do either of those things. So I feel like if we speed Jim Irsay up a little bit, he might actually sound like he's pretty with it. Yeah.
So the assignment today is to find Jim Irsay waxing poetic about something that we can speed up a little bit. Okay, we can
talk
about
ZZ Top or something.
Anything.
He likes his rock and roll music.
He does.
He's one of these rich dudes who thinks he's got a band.
yes, like James Dolan or Kevin Costner, absolutely. Does a Carlos Correa deal get done today, Seth? We are 13 hours away from a lockout.
I think that a deal comes after the lockout.
I think so too.
I think it's a little too complicated. And I think that perhaps some of the teams that are thinking about spending heavily on Carlos Correa, remember, with a 10-year deal, if you're entering a new labor agreement and the competitive balance tax might change, some of the rules and restrictions might change, I think some of these teams that already have spent pretty heavily, like the Dodgers and the Yankees, probably maybe are hesitant to really plunk down another 10-year contract without really getting a feel for how it's going to affect them down the road.
Yeah.
So, and maybe Carlos feels that way too. And the Astros, if the Astros are still in on a shorter, you know, something longer than 5 years, but shorter than 10 years.
Yeah. I don't know what to root for to come out of this, a higher luxury tax or a lower luxury tax? Because a lower luxury tax would seemingly, I guess, you know what? I don't know what to root for. If the Dodgers are the team, they're so far over whatever the threshold is anyways, I don't even think they care. So there's that.
Well, that's because the Yankees and the Dodgers will spend into the luxury tax. And, you know, that's different than that's a lot different than like where the Texas Rangers are right now. The Rangers can spend big money on a shortstop and a second baseman, and still, I mean, they were 27th in spending this last season.
Right.
They're not at risk of going anywhere near the luxury tax, no matter how much they spend right this moment.
Yep. Hey, reminder: text PICKS to 20357. That's PICKS to 20357. That is the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. The Rocket Mortgage 2021. Pro Football Pick'em. All you got to do is pick winners. That's all you got to do. Pick some winners, and you could win $1,000. $1,000 up for grabs each week. You compete against me and several other hosts from around the country. I'm actually doing fairly well this year. I'm in the top 5 or 6 among all the hosts, unlike last year where I was DFL.
Oh, really?
I was dead last year, Seth. Yeah. Dead last.
Do you win money for this thing if you do well?
No, so, but the weekly winner gets a Starbucks gift card. Among the hosts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's money.
Yeah.
Better than an NFT, I'll tell you that much.
Probably worth more. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, all right, and we get Texans back at practice today, so we'll see where we're at with Justin Reed. I'm assuming he'll be back there just doing his thing, doing his deal. But we'll hear from
him. And we've got the Colts coming in. This weekend.
We'll start to break that
down. I'm actually getting excited about this Colts game because if there's one thing the Texans can do, it's force turnovers. So with every remaining game this season, the Texans have a chance just because they have a defense that can force turnovers.
Yeah.
And what? As David Culley will tell you, it's impossible for a team to win a game if they turn the ball over four times.
That's right. That's right.
Unless they turn the ball over five times.
Against that team. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. We are done. We are out of time. We will be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow, Seth. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you if you even care.
If you even give a rip. All right, we're done. In the Loop is up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody. You got to eat, dude. You gotta
I know. I did eat. I thought that was the issue yesterday. Yeah. Now I'm just stupid. I was trying to think of Jose Altuve's name.
Jose Altuve.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.